no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. If you read the New Testament, and even if you go back into the Old, you'll see these words. Oh, Matt, in his Sunday school this morning, going over some of the verses he did, you see these themes, and especially in that Hebrews 3 passage, you see light, enlightenment, change. Changed mind. You see these repeated throughout Scripture. Of course, Jesus in that verse was brought up too. Jesus is the truth. The truth will set you free. Set you free. We have all these verses, all these things repeated over and over, it seems like. And I'm going to read a bunch of verses today. I had to bring notes because I didn't really want to write all 700 verses down. I had cramps and it had been awful. So instead, I copy and paste it. So here we go. And keep in mind that theme. Keep in mind, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. But let's look at verse 8 again. For you were once darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the world and in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Who alone, 1 Timothy 6:16, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. God is not in a vision. No one has went to heaven and seen him. There is no assurance in a vision. No one has seen God. Come at me. That's what Paul says. No one. Any teacher who tells you otherwise is a liar, hellbound, wicked, a teacher after their own gain. No one has seen God, and God does not rest in visions. God does not rest in tongues. God does not rest in raising little boys who get hit by cars. And I'm sorry, man, I'm going to steal a bunch from you because your Sunday school just was really good this morning. Salvation doesn't rest in that. No one has seen God. That's darkness. James 1:17, for every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow, no threat of turning. God does not change, dear ones. There's no one with a new message. No one is going to come and say, I've seen God and he told me such and such. They are liars, mark them. They have no interest in your soul. Their father is the devil. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. God is light. The truth. Goodness, faithfulness, joy, courage, bravery, steadfastness, long-suffering, patience. God is good. God of all valor. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Psalm 43:3. We want God's light. We want his truth. Those who were in darkness, but now who are in light, where do we go to live? And how do we live? By the scripture. By the light. By the truth. Not by whimsy. Not by, not even all the, we are still given our reason. Sometimes men reason themselves out of any good at all. Acts 26:18 says to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Romans 13:12. Those who have found life in Christ, those who have found life in Christ are essentially people who have been transferred from the realm of darkness to the realm of day. How does that work? We're elect from the foundations, from the eternity past. You bet. You bet. That's true. What does the Bible say? You were once in darkness, but now you are in light. Transformed with a renewed mind, with a new spirit, made alive by the Holy Spirit, quickened by Him to new life. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6. He has delivered us, saved us, brought us out of. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, moved us, transported us, brought us from A to B, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Colossians 1:13. 1 Peter 2:9, one of the greatest. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out. You were in, now He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. When we walk as children, we walk humbly before the Lord. And the world views this as ridiculously stupid. Why are you living that way? Why are you doing those things? Why are you not pursuing this? Because we believe that this book, translated into English, this thousands of year old book, is God's truth. Why do you believe that? How can you believe that? I've read, what's his name? Marcus Aurelius. He has a book on morals. It's a quick read. It's a little book on a Stoic philosophy book. He has a lot of proverbs in it. A lot of them fundamentally are no different than what you can find in the book of Proverbs, actually. Why do I believe that? Well, Marcus Aurelius, he was king. He was a well-known emperor. He's a well-known Stoic. Far less things are written validating his existence than the existence of Christ. And yet people will not believe. Why do I believe? Because God has conveyed me. God has moved me from spiritual death, blindness, where I was under the power of Satan. As the Bible says, He has conveyed me, He has moved me to the kingdom of His Son. Changed, made a difference. So that's how, that's why I can believe. And that's why you can believe. When you look at the Bible and you read it and you're saying, oh, well, this is so crazy. This is not normal. This is why am I reading Jonah? Why does it have for me? When the whole world about us says it's foolishness. No fish can eat a man and then spit him back up. No man can kill a lion with his bare hands. No carpenter can save the world from its sins. And they're right. No carpenter can, but the Son of God can. The Son of God is the same one who sends His Spirit of truth to awaken those who are here to believe in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, to believe in His Word, to be fundamentally changed But don't be mistaken. The world is in darkness and they think we are fools. If the world doesn't think you are a fool, then they probably don't really know what you believe. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk. Walk as children in the light. How do we do that? Why do we do that? We do that because we're born again. If you're born again, you will walk as a child in the light. If you're not doing so now, then you need to pray. I need to pray. We all need to pray. We'll need to pray every day for the rest of our life. Because none of us are perfect. None of us are Christ. We all need Christ desperately to do every good thing there is to do. We need Christ. And it will still be imperfect, but the Lord loves us. And the Lord has given us children, right? We've a lot of us have raised children, and children are very young, and they do things like Amelia will show me a picture, and then Charlotte will want to show me a picture, or sometimes your daughter may just want to twirl for you. And I look at them, well, you're clearly not ready for Broadway. Get back to work. God forbid we have that evil sort of attitude. No, we delight in our children who offer these things up. And we help them. We build them. And God has given them to us so that we can learn. And just like marriage, raising children, it gives us a sneak peek into the heart of God. It's a beautiful thing. But why do we do what we do? The world thinks we're ridiculous. We do the things and we believe the things and we understand the things we do because the Father has directed us on how we should live. We say no to the ways of the world and we seek no interference with our spiritual life from the carnal. Those who are in Christ are children of the light. There is no longer darkness in them. The Spirit abides within and directs us, grows us, molds our conscience. Which is why the Bible is so adamant about not quenching or grieving the Spirit. Doing so will produce an anemic, sickly Christian. But I've got good news. If there are any anemic, sickly Christians here this morning, your sickly, anemic, grimy, low-down, dirty faith is enough because Christ is enough. And if that's where that faith is, then it is enough. What do I say to you then? That you should continue being anemic and sickly? No! Awake, you who sleep! Arise from the dead! This is not for unbelievers! And I'm not there yet, I know, but I can't help it. This is a hymn of the early church. That one sings, maybe at baptism, maybe at Christian initiation, when someone new comes into the church. This is a hymn. It's not a scriptural quotation. But we'll get to that. That's what I say. If you have an anemic, sickly faith, awake. Who is in you? He who is in you is what? Greater than he who is in the world. The faith of a mustard, the size of a mustard seed. Well, what? Is enough to move mountains. The apostle's imperative is clear. You are now a children of light. Walk like it. Walk like it. They say, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I have to tithe and I have to wear a tie and I have to do this and I have to do that? God forbid you think like that. Doesn't do anything. Look at who your Father is. You are a child of light. Look at what Christ has done. Look at Him. Look at Him. Look at Him. And let the Spirit do what He wants to do in your life. Am I saying you shouldn't do any of those things I mentioned? No. I'm saying that's not what it's about, my friend. It's about Christ. It's about what He's done for you and me. It's about not forgetting what He's done. It's about being grateful. Dear brothers and sisters, we can sometimes become ungrateful when we don't meditate or think about or remember where we were and what Christ has done and what He is still doing in our lives. We become ungrateful. We are prone to wander. We are prone to sin. Let us go back to Christ then. Let us go back to Him who has saved us. Part of this passage, Paul in Ephesians, he goes through a lot of things. In the second half, he goes into telling us a bunch of things on how to live. He goes through reconciliation. He talks about behavior. And finally, he gets here in the start of, you know, verse 1, which kind of belongs in chapter 4. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. And that's something we should stamp onto our hearts and seek to do every day, whatever God sends our way. Because sometimes God sends this, and sometimes He sends a hardship. Sometimes He sends, like Brian mentioned, a memorial service where people come in and they chip in, they do all these things. It always seems to me that people come in from every different direction to help. And that's true, and that's good. And that's something we need to have our eye on as the church. But as a new believer, we are to then focus on Christ and that He has brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Verse 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is parenthetical, and I'll read another verse or a couple verses. Romans 6, 20 through 22 says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Now, Romans chapter 6 is all about sin, and I'm telling you right here, this passage is about sin. And it's a warning to us not to take it lightly. And not to teach people to take it lightly. But we'll get to that. We'll continue on. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of our God. We're filled with the fruits of righteousness because we are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We're in the kingdom of light. And the fruit of that kingdom is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Hebrews 12:11, now no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The chastening of the Lord produces righteousness, not the righteousness of Christ. Tangible righteousness that springs forth from a changed heart in the children of light. The more accurate translation would be the fruit of light. That's what the manuscripts point to. But the meaning has done no damage either way. So if you're reading your Bibles, you might see fruit of light, fruit of the Spirit. That just explains that. The fruit of light is a reflection of the Father of lights, goodness, righteousness, and truth. A born-again believer will have fruit, and he'll have tangible fruit that can be seen and felt and touched. Those without the light destroy, because the only fruit sin produces is death. Sin does not produce fruit, dear ones. Sin produces death, pain. Think about everything that's ever happened to you in your life that was bad. Think about the worst thing that's happened. Think about the least worst thing that's happened. Think about any bad thing that you have caused or has been done to you. That is all sin. That all stems from sin. Sin brings death. All sin, even little sins. Children, Charlotte, little sins turn into big sins. Do not ignore the Bible's teachings, children. Don't ignore them this morning. A little disobedience to your parents now can turn into big disobedience later. A little disrespect to your parents now can turn into disrespecting the wrong person later. There are people in this world who do not take disrespect sitting down. They'll kill you for it. Is that a little scary? Maybe. I guarantee you have walked past people in Walmart who have cut people for less. And we all know people who were never taught respect growing up. And we're just wondering. You sit back and wonder, that's a time bomb. How have they not taking one to the teeth yet? I know I'm being a little dramatic, but this is true. So children, heed what the Bible teaches. Listen to your parents. Obey your parents. When they are trying to instruct you on what to do, listen to their wisdom, because in it is the truth of God. And the salvation of your souls can only be found in the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done. Children, listen to your parents. Obey your parents. Parents, discipline your children. They don't grow up their whole life being disrespectful out of nowhere. Parents, discipline your children. A little back talk now when they're 3 might be cute. It's not cute when they're 16. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Parents, discipline your children. Why? Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. The fifth commandment, children, obey your parents, is what is built into the scriptures for parents to teach their kids so their kids might learn to obey authority. If they do not learn young, they will learn late, and it will be terrible for them. The reason there's a promise attached to this verse is because it is good for us to recognize authority. It teaches having good discipline at the home will instruct the heart to recognize and understand the authority of God and proper authority. Parents, discipline your children in the Lord. You better believe discipline's his. Think about your trials. It's not just some hard thing that the Lord has given you because you are having it too good. Trials are not just arbitrary things the Lord passes down so that you can make, so that you won't smile year round. Every time I think I'm getting caught up on something, the Lord sends something else, it seems like. And I could get upset, and sometimes I do, or I could try to recognize what the Lord is trying to teach me. And that's good for all of us, and that's good to instruct our children. We need to teach them. We need to show them. They need to be involved heavily. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Being a child of God does not mean you are free from decisions or thinking. Isn't that often a claim? Oh, you're not a free thinker. Okay. But we are, in a sense. We just think within the confines of reality. That's all. The atheist has no reality to think in. They say all sorts of stuff. They base it on feelings and Christian worldview. They wouldn't have, anyway. I'm not going to go into that, but we're not free from thinking. We're not free from reason. We're not free from making decisions. We are to walk before the Lord according to the light he has given us. And this verse is closely related to Romans 12:2. So finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Oh, I thought we were just supposed to like love people and stuff. What's the world's definition of love for us today? It changes, right? Don't say this. Don't say that. Are you critiquing my life right now? I need a safe space. What do you mean? I can't do this. You're a bigot. Okay. You don't know what gender is, so I don't know how to heart I should take these insults. This is a mark. Now listen, this is going to sound wrong, but I hope to bring it back around. This is not necessarily talking about evangelism, right? This is, and one could argue, this is like one of the places in Scripture that's kind of talking about that silent evangelism, you know, that really bad phrase that they attribute to Francis Nisi, I think is how you say it, that always preach the gospel and if necessary use words. Well, that's wrong, and I don't want you to take it there, but the point of this is that as children of the light, we will live like it. That means we will only believe in one sort of marriage. We will only believe in two genders. We will only affirm those things that are true because we are children of truth, children of light. We cannot Scripture does not whisper about truth. It doesn't speak silently about sins. We will not bend reality to placate sinners. We can't. Why? Because we hate sinners? No, because we love them, and because we know that the end of life, when they stand before God and they have not had Christ Himself put His robes of righteousness on them, when they have not seen the Savior for what He is, when they have not placed their faith in Christ, but they've placed their faith in a homosexual partnership or in a worldview that affirms whatever they want to do, well, then they will go to hell and they will suffer an eternity of judgment. And we have said nothing. Or worse, like certain ex-presidents of big denominations, we would have conformed or made them feel comfortable in their delusion. It's like giving somebody a gift basket on their way to hell. They get to go smiling now instead of being torn in the heart about what is true and right. But let's go on, because Paul's going to talk about it. Dear brethren, we are to expose the deeds of darkness without fear and without shame. This exposure stems from our living in the light of God's word. Notice verse 12. For it is shameful. It is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. What does that say? Does that say we're busting in to the parades, into the bathhouses, and we're getting fully immersed in the sinful things that go on there? We're going to the strip clubs. We're going to these places of sin and rot. No, we're not going, and we're not affirming, and we're not being nice to with the way we choose to speak. It means we are not doing those things. We are standing upon the truth of God and saying those things are wrong, and they will send you to the burning lake of fire, dear brother, in a human sense. In a very human sense, all people on earth are neighbors, brothers and sisters. Some are more so because some are adopted into the kingdom of light. And then we are given this. We're given a few things to do as God's children. You could look at the Great Commission to see the church in action and what the church is supposed to be doing, or us individually. We're here. We're living out, right? We're not talking about these shameful things. We're not gossiping about the sin of the world and the culture. We could do that. And in a certain sense, humans get a sort of enjoyment about talking about how evil some of these things are, right? We can get in the group, well, you know, I heard such and such did such a thing, and it's just so gross, you know. And it'll be like, yeah, brother, that is gross. And I've been a part of it. It's sinful. It's wrong. Because we're indulging our flesh. The Bible says it's shameful. It's shameful to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. So we stand against it with our life. John 3:20 says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. That's a weird thing to say if we're supposed to change services and change our church formats in order to gain people. Don't you? Have they read that verse? Have they thought about it? And yes, I'm kind of being polemical this morning. These big churches with these huge fire engine kiddie baptisms. I've seen it. Dear brothers and sisters, it's wicked. It's manipulative. It invokes jealousy in this pastor, because why not get baptized in a fire engine? You know, that's pretty awesome, right? So I'm just trying to break it up. I'm not. These things are happening. Y'all have seen it. Y'all have seen it. The circuses in the church. Y'all have seen it. The water slide. There's been water slide baptismals. Y'all have seen it. Y'all know about this silliness. By God's grace, He'll pull His sheep out. But again, like Sunday school, what kind of gospel are they giving? You know, you get your I Got Baptized t-shirt from the t-shirt cannon. You jump in there. The praise music is like a little concert, and then you go your way, and the next thing you know, on your Facebook, you're supporting the murder of children. I've seen it. I've seen people go through this process of being in these trendy churches, getting the baptized t-shirt, and then defending abortion. It's like, what's going on? They've missed it. They're not children of light. They're children of darkness. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. The church at large seems to suffer from a bad case of schizophrenia because they think that by adapting their services to the world, it will attract people to come to Christ. This is insanity for the believer. That's crazy. It should give us pause when considering changes to anything. Really should. Really should. Verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. In the beginning, their shameful deeds are done in darkness. They neither see their own baseness nor think that it is seen by God. That's John Calvin. When darkness is exposed by light, there comes what a commentator has called a crisis in judgment. And this is the condemnation, John 3:19-21, that the light has come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. It has been said that Christians should not reprove sin because it makes us appear judgmental. I disagree. On principle, we must stand for what is right. This may not mean taking on particular things, but it does mean the Christian will militate against the worldly culture. I don't know how that looks for each one of you individually. I know what it looks like for me and my family in certain situations, but every day is new, and everything that comes our way is new. In a certain sense, because we're confronted by evil. We're confronted by things. We stand against it because we believe the truth, because we're children of light. At a certain point, the simple existence of the church becomes an impediment to the darkness of the world, and at that point is when things get dicey. Oh, well, you know, don't hear me and think that that's just something cool I made up. That has been said by Karl Marx. Church and the family are the enemy of that ideology. I just said something that was true. At a certain point, our simple existence as Christ followers gets dicey. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This verse, while quoted, is not a direct quote from Scripture, but truth derived from Scripture. Most commentators agree that this is an early hymn. However, there's a difference of opinion on whether it is an initiate hymn, like one you would sing, the church would sing when someone comes in, because they say, and I don't know how they come to this conclusion, that it matches the rhythm of a Judaism initiate hymn that they found for the same time period, okay? Or it's a baptismal hymn, which makes, that's a lot easier to explain. That's right. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Praise God. Your dead shall live together with my dead body. They shall arise, awake, and sing. You who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs. Isaiah 26:19. Isaiah 52:1. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Isaiah 60:1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Listen to that call, Christian. Awake, you who sleep. arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Romans 13:11 says, and do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Therefore, 1 Thessalonians 5:6 through 7, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Dear brothers and sisters, do not be allured. Do not be allured by the glittering promises of the world and of worldlings, but cling to the promise of Christ, who has died for your sins and has risen again as a surety for your life. Rather, wake up and follow after the Lord by the light of his word, and understand that here and in Romans and in Thessalonians and all those other places, those exhortations to wake up are not given to unbelievers. They're given to us. You think, well, I'm not. We can be. We get that way. We need to wake up. The command is clear. The command is clear for the Christian. And I will say, dear brethren, those on the interwebs, anyone here who has not bowed the knee to Christ, the command is clear for you too. Bow the knee. The command is clear for the unbeliever as well. While this may not be the specific meaning, I will reason from the general truth of Scripture. Rise from the dead. Come alive. Be awakened, not on your own power because you have none, not on your own ability because you have none of that either. Devoid of ability, not by your own decision because the choice is not yours, but by the compelling. If you feel, let's say, we'll talk about feelings real quick. If you feel, if you can hear the Spirit call in your heart, come to me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you hear the Spirit's call, know that God will get you no matter where you are or where you run. That God will not lose one of his sheep. Not one. Not one who is to be saved will be lost. No one can run. No one can hide. Hillary Clinton and all of her tomfoolery cannot hide from Christ. If she were his, then she most definitely won't hide from the judgment that is to come. And she's just the first villain that came to my mind, so no one get too upset. There's many more. Not hide from Christ. You cannot run. If you hear the Spirit's call, come to him. Go to him. Go to his truth. Go to the word. Submit yourself to the God of all creation, the Lord of the cosmos, the Creator King of all reality. There's no one else more worthy to obey. There's no one else more worthy to bow the knee to. There's no one else with as much glory as God. Turn from your sin this morning and place your faith in Christ, the only name given among men by which you can be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Scriptures and all of the things that can be taught from them, Lord. So many different things come alive when we go through your book. I pray, Lord, that the word this morning will be effectual, that it will not return void. I pray, Father, that you would make your power known by the preaching of your word, by the gathering of your saints who in one accord have come to worship you and declare you their all in all. I pray, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. You would help us to walk as stumbling, tottering, drooling little babies. Help us to walk after you, O God, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.